Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Alongside Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti on the updates. And we are happy to have you. There is a new phone number if you're looking to get on. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. So again, I say it often, so you can jot it down and then call at your convenience. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I want to continue to talk about March Madness. There's so many different angles to this thing, the tournament itself, the results that are happening. It's a transfer-heavy pool of players, which is very interesting. Dive into that a little bit. Also, if you're an NBA person and you're watching college, there are players that are going to be drafted high. And it's tough. It's tougher. But the disconnect between like the NFL and NBA when it comes to the draft and knowing the people that are going to be in it, this is your opportunity to do that. And we'll go through who some of the guys are tonight as well. And I do want to talk a little NFL. Now, a couple of teams specifically I kind of want to hit on, including the 49ers and including the Pittsburgh Steelers, because you want to talk about mock drafts. I think I know their first round pick is what I'm saying. So we'll do that here in a little bit. We got a Bartometer that we'll get to momentarily. Again, the updates on some of the scores tonight, I'll just give you the ones that are happening right this very moment that we are following. UCLA's pretty much taken Utah State out to the wash, 61-37. There's 8 minutes to go. Two games at halftime, Michigan up on UC San Diego. That's the upset I had everywhere. Picked the wrong 5-12 one. I had Clemson to the Final Four. Whoops. 41-27, Michigan up at half. St. John's up 5 points as a 2 seed over a 15 Omaha. In watching that game, I would expect St. John's to pull away here in the second. Omaha looks very sloppy. And anytime they get a lead, it looks like they get a little nervous. So we can be on upset watch, but I'm not expecting St. John's to lose that game. Texas Tech, early stages against UNC Wilmington, a 3-14. That is 19-12 in favor of Texas Tech. Again, we'll get to the Bartometer in just a second. I do want to show you that the phone lines work because a lot of people are calling the phone lines, not wanting to get on, just asking Carlos if they work. The answer is yes. And Tom is in Wisconsin, and he is proof of that. Hello, Tom.
Well, hello, Bart. I'm so glad to get through to you. First, I just want to say that I just first caught you when you moved shifts to the evening shift. And I've been listening to you regularly ever since. Really appreciate your style. You're quirky, but you're very knowledgeable. You got a great sense of humor, but you don't use that knowledge as superiority over people. You let them, you know, talk, and you just got something different. You pull out different angles from things that I really like. So I wanted to say that. And, of course, I'm a cheesehead and a Brewer fan and a Badger fan. I just want to talk a little bit about the Badgers and BYU, who, as I examine them, are no pushover.
No, what I know about BYU is that they're going to score a lot of points, and the Badgers, Tom, are going to have to keep up with them.
Well, when I looked at the stats, and I have them right here, they are virtually mirror each other. They're almost equal in all of the stats. They both score about 80 a game, give up 70 a game. All the other stats are virtually equal. The difference is that Wisconsin has a much higher strength of schedule and a much higher RPI rating, but we can't take BYU lightly. They beat Iowa State twice when they were ranked. They beat Arizona when they were ranked, Kansas when they were ranked. They went 4-4 against ranked teams. We went 3-3. I did like the fact that today I saw contributions from all over. You know, the team.
Sure.
You can pick at some things, but there were a lot of guys that contributed in a lot of ways. And our big men were effective, but let's not take BYU lightly. And then we have to talk about What is Green Bay going to do? What is the master plan? Do you see one?
Are you talking Packers?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know if you were talking my guy Doug Gottlieb. Packers, I don't know. I would think that, I mean, everyone's saying cornerback. So yeah, we're going to do that for one. The 15th straight year, it feels like.
Well, we missed. Last year, they failed to pick DeGene Cooper. He was our cornerback.
And I know.
He had a pick six in the Super Bowl.
It's getting stupid as a Packer fan because Packer fans usually agree on who they should draft, and then the Packers do something else, and then the guy that we want has success. Tom, I appreciate the nice words. Where in Wisconsin are you, if I may ask?
Well, presently I live in Wisconsin Rapids, but I lived in Madison for many years.
Oh, okay. Rapids, all right.
I'm 67, so I come from the Bart Starr Lombardi era, all the way back to there.
Well, Tom, I appreciate your call and the kind words, and let's do it again.
We'll do it. Thanks a lot, Bart. Have a good night.
All right, you too. That's Tom in Wisconsin, who I imagine we will hear his voice again soon. Yes? You got the bumper, I hope. That was a good one. That was a very good one. Tom, thank you very much. See, some people get it. The rest of you will come around. All right, with that being said, it's now time that I do a segment with my pretend robot. It is time for the Bartometer.
There are debates. There are hot takes. There are strong opinions. But in the quest for the truth, there is only one way to get the final say. It's time to fire up the Bartometer.
Tonight's Bartometer is college basketball related, as it should be. And the Bartometer, which is my totally real, don't let anything I say influence you. It's totally real. It's a machine I've made, runs on my brain power, knowledge, every corner of the internet. It's like any one of these AI models, except it also runs on gas, solar, wind, and my blood to create not artificial intelligence, but follow me on this one, Bartificial intelligence. So tonight, the eight best places to watch the opening rounds of the NCAA tournament. The eight best places to watch it. At number eight, is anywhere on the go. For instance, I watched it while buying groceries not 2 hours ago. I went into the store to pick up a couple of items. I saw that the six-pack of sodas were buy two, get two free. I had to take advantage for that because soda's like $13 everywhere now for a 12-pack. I don't know when that happened. That sucks. So I had to go back to my car to get my phone because I knew my shopping trip was going to be a little longer. And I watched, that's where I watched the end of Arkansas, Kansas. Was at a pick and save. So on the go, and the March Madness app, I feel like it was created to help serve you. And I was very pumped because I put it on my phone today and I got right into the action. And I thought, oh, this is great. You don't need a different provider. You don't need to put in any other information. I then tried it on a computer here, and I realized that you do, and I must have been already logged in from a previous time. But it's still very convenient. On the go. Like, grocery store. Funeral. God knows where. On the go, number eight. The best places to watch the first two rounds of the tournament. The Thursday-Friday edition. Number seven. Number seven is at work. You don't like to be at work. Okay, but it's not the worst place to watch the tournament. You can still get the browsers going. It's a slow day anyway, usually. You can talk to people at the, let's call it the water cooler, if you need to get something off your chest about my brackets busted or whatever, there are other humans that you can interact with and scratch that itch. So work sucks to be at work during the tournament. Except for me, I love it. But work comes in at number 7. Number 6. Number 6 is a very specific memory, which I would hope teachers of today are still doing, and that is wheeling the TV into the classroom on this Thursday and Friday. So number 6 is school. As a kid, I don't think I had a year where I didn't have a teacher that didn't at least have it on the corner TV perched atop. And I know, like, the TVs I grew up with were huge cubes. I don't know how many schools have the flat screens in every room. Maybe they do. I don't know. But March Madness was on in the school, and that was fun because that became a lighter day. Your teacher made brackets and you filled them out. It wasn't for money. I think what it was doing was to pool, like, he knew which kids would go to their dads, and then he would, like, see the different brackets and he'd know which dads were the smartest, and that's how he would help fill out his bracket, is what I think happened now that I think about it. But school, in the case where they wheel in the TV, that's a great day. Number 5. Best places to watch March Madness, first 2 days. Number 5 is in the arena itself. Actually, a little lower than you might think it should be, but you're just watching one game, and the joy of this is watching the many games. Now, it's great when you get to watch your team, if that's been something you've been able to do, or you go and there's an upset. That can get very crazy. Have that state tournament feel where all of a sudden people that don't have a rooting interest in this number 14 school, maybe they've never heard of Lipscomb, but now all of a sudden the whole arena is fans of Lipscomb. That's always very fun. But, you're only seeing the one game. Just like how going to an NFL game is great, but you see like the red zone highlights twice a game, maybe between the first and second and then third and fourth quarter. Part of the allure of this tournament is the overload. You don't get that in the arena. Number 4. Number 4 is simply at your house. What a great place to watch a game. You didn't have to travel anywhere. You didn't have to pay for parking. You have full control of the remote. You are not at work. You are not at school. You access what you want to watch. I'm still antiquated in that I just have one screen in my living room. Well, I have the laptop and the phone, but just the one TV. Many people have found a way to get multiple TVs in their living room. Not even like a man cave or a rec room, but their living room. But in your house is great. Few places I'd actually rather be than in my house. Number 3. Number 3 is actually a little higher than your house. It's your buddy's house. Okay? Now, you might lose some control of the remote, but for the most part, you guys will be locked into the same things. He may have an extra TV for you, and you're eating his snacks and drinking his beer. He's not going to charge you for that. That's house food. Now, you may order pizzas. You may bring over a 30-pack, you know, it'd be nice. But even if you order a pizza, most time, the person that's hosting is paying. Or even he's like, hey, how much was the pizza? And it was $40. And he just said, or it was like $50. And he said, give me a 20. So sometimes you get a little bit of a bargain. So a buddy's house just reaches past your own house. Number 2, best place to watch the tournament. That would be, you might have to travel for this one, but a sports book. It can be Vegas, it can be any old casino on earth. To sit there with all the screens and all the options and to have the ability to gorge out on food, have a couple of cocktails, make bets. That's a good one. You might have your bracket. It might get busted right away. You can go up to the window, bet on the second window of games. Or your team can be down. Hey, I'm going to go place a bet here, and I think they're coming back. I'm going to get them while the getting's good. So the full overload of everything, that's the key, sportsbook. And then at number one, that would simply just be a sports bar without the gambling. Actually, it's actually better without the gambling because you're not then like wrapped up into the bottom line of how much you're losing. You can enjoy the games for what they are. And you won't lose money. Basically, sports bar is a little better than sports book because nobody ever wins, at least based on my experience. And it's a great place. You can hang with your buddies, most likely. Maybe see some people you haven't seen in a while. You're not at work on a Thursday. I remember one glorious year where, and this happens every now and then, but the NCAA tournament is on St. Patrick's Day. Oh, my good God. You might as well pre-take Monday off, if that's the case. Best places to watch the tournament. Number 8 is anywhere and everywhere on the go. Number 7, work. Number 6, school. Number 5, in the arena. Number 4, your house. Number 3, a friend's house. Number 2, sports book. Number 1, sports bar. And that is the clearly alcoholic Bartometer. I did say that I use my blood. There's a... So that's maybe where the... comes in for the Bartometer. At least in that one. We have a new phone number, folks. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Again, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I've talked about this before with mock drafts. This is the period where whatever happens between now and the draft really isn't much that happens. Jalen Milroe had his pro day at Alabama the other day, and people are like, okay, should we reconsider? Some of that stuff's going to happen. You'll start to see mock drafts with trades. You'll start to see mock drafts where people are putting people higher or lower than they should be, and then it's like, oh, they're moving up and down the board. They're not. It's just the think tank all gravitating. But there is one specific position and one specific team which I would like to get out in front of before mock draft season really picks up. And I did see one mock draft already do this, which is why I want to give credit where credit's due. I want to talk to you about what we're likely to see in the first round. Right now, it feels like no. Come 3 weeks from now, I think we're all going to be in agreement on something. So let's get that conversation rolling tonight. We'll do that in a handful of minutes. Again, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is The Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz is alongside. And we come to you on this Thursday evening, the first Thursday of the March Madness tournament. I do not know that we are going to get an upset of any kind tonight. UCLA 72, Utah State 47. Wasn't happening there. Texas Tech is currently up 9 over UNC Wilmington with 3 to go in the first. Texas Tech a 3 seed. Michigan up 15 on UC San Diego in the second half. And then St. John's and Omaha. Omaha went out to a 8-0 lead. But it did look like, because the first half they were only down 5, it looked like they were a little nervous or just a little sloppy. St. John's has outscored Omaha 17-5. 50-33 now, the score. And Rick Pitino and the boys look like they will be able to cruise into the second round. Should be no problem there. This portion of the show brought to you by Hyundai, the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. But don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Here's what I want to put in everybody's heads regarding the NFL. I think the Steelers are going to take a quarterback in the first round. I think by the time that we get to April 26th at the NFL draft, I think the Steelers will be taking a quarterback in the first round. I'm influenced a little bit by a couple of different factors. One being Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft. And this one makes sense because it's a mock draft post-free agency. Any mock draft, like, you still got about three more days to make a mock draft for me to say, good job. And then the next 4 weeks, it's just going to be people that are like overreacting to things that they've heard or trying to get exposure by doing something crazy in the mock draft, hoping somebody picks up on it. And sometimes what happens is somebody will see that and then they'll do it. And all of a sudden, I've seen all these mock drafts that have Shedeur Sanders going 97th, which is not going to happen, but the snowball effect happens. In this particular mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, he's on their coverage. You see him during the broadcast. I think he's great. He's got Shedeur Sanders actually going number three to the Giants, Cam Ward number one to the Titans, and the Browns, instead of taking Sanders, they would take Abdul Carter, the edge rusher out of Penn State, for what it's worth, Travis Hunter at four, and then Jalen Walker, edge rusher, coming up to number five for Jacksonville. Another Georgia guy with the last name Walker to pair with Trayvon. So that could be something that he sees happening in this draft. Why I bring this up and what's so interesting about his mock draft is he does have another quarterback in the first round, and that's Jackson Dart at number 21 to the Steelers. Now, will it be Jackson Dart? Could it be Jalen Milroe, who had a nice pro day this week? I don't know. Could it be Quinn Ewers? I don't know. A lot of these guys we've been saying and looking at as possible mid to late second round picks, maybe even a third round pick. One thing I think about quarterbacks in the first round, and really why you see more teams trade into the end of the first round, is because NFL rookies are on that four-year deal. And in the first-round picks, there's an extra fifth year. There's a fifth-year option for those first-round picks. So sometimes teams will trade into the first round to make sure they have a little more control of how long these guys are with them and if they can kind of force the issue or not. Brock Purdy didn't have that, so the Niners have to rush to try to figure something out. But I think if you're a team that wants a quarterback, you try to dip into the first round. Some teams look at it the other way. Some teams trade out of the first round because they don't want to go that route. So it's just different based on philosophy. Also, the bigger thing that I would lead as towards evidence is the Steelers pick at 21. And then their next pick is at 83. So they would have to wait another 62 picks if they don't take a quarterback at 21. And there's going to be guys that they like. What I think is going to happen is there's going to be guys that they like, and on their big board, they might be quarterbacks they like between 35 and 45. But if that's the case, I think it's appropriate to use pick number 21 on a quarterback if you're Pittsburgh. If you have the third quarterback that you're taking, you're not getting Shedeur, you're not getting Cam, you've got your pick of any of the other guys that are available. Or you could wait till the third round, pick number 83, and possibly none of those guys are there anymore. What I think is the most intriguing, why I'm pushing towards this line of thinking, on top of everything I've already said, is why don't they have a second round pick? Why do the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2025 not have a second round pick? Well, obviously they traded it. If you don't have a second round pick, I haven't heard of any scandal they've been a part of. I haven't heard of any penalties that have happened. So they don't have a second round pick. So where is it? Who did you give it to? They didn't trade it that long ago. So when they traded that pick, they must have had something in mind with what they thought they might do in the first round. The Steelers traded their second-round pick to Seattle for DK Metcalf. They traded their second-round pick where they could have got a quarterback, and we'd all say, yeah, makes sense, that's good. They traded that second-round pick to Seattle for DK Metcalf, a wide receiver right now without a quarterback throwing to him. Mason Rudolph is the guy, really? I still believe they should bring Russell Wilson back, but they don't seem to care. So I'm just trying to think here. If you're the Steelers and you know it's going to take you a second-round pick to get this wide receiver, if you're going to have George Pickens and DK Metcalf, you need somebody to throw him the football. It's not as good of a combo as T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, but you can do worse than these two guys. You could also have these two guys and have nobody to throw him the ball. And I don't know that Dart's going to step in or Milroe or Ewers is going to step in and be the quarterback of the future. We don't know that. But there's been guys taken in the 20s before that have worked out. There's been guys taken in the second round pick, but they have given up their second round pick, which I think forces the issue in the first round pick. And I wonder if they had the wherewithal to realize if we're going to trade for a receiver here, we are giving up the opportunity to draft a quarterback here. It tells me they may be comfortable with drafting a quarterback at 21. Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft is the only mock draft right now that I have seen that has taken a quarterback for the Steelers there. But I love it. I think it makes total sense. I think the Steelers have maybe showed their work, that this is something they might do. And if they don't take a quarterback there, what are you going to take? A defensive lineman, you know, a cornerback, offensive lineman, like take the thing your team needs. Even if everyone's going to say, oh, it's 15 picks too high. Well, you don't have that. Unless you find a way to trade back, you know, you're still at risk. You're still at risk. I think a big thing in drafting is if you have a guy you like, don't get cute. If you have a guy that you like that you know you're the only one that you like, that's one thing. But you don't know that. You don't know what team's going to jump up and take him from you. The Steelers could say, well, we're at 21. That's too high for Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. We don't want him. It's too high. We want him at like 35, where it'd be more accepted by the people. What people? You don't want to get made fun of by your fans? You don't want to get made fun of by the media? Because what you're going to do then is trade down to 35 with whoever you can find a trade partner. Someone's going to come up, trade to 33, take Jackson Dart, and then you're like, well, now we'll take another guy that we don't like as much. So if you like a guy, take a guy. I feel like the Steelers could definitely be in play for a quarterback in round one. And if it's not them, right now there's two guys locked in to the first round in Ward and Sanders. The bet that I would like is over 2.5 quarterbacks taken in round one. I think another guy gets up there one way or another. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Update you on some of these games. We may be closer now to an upset watch. One game. Well, ever since I said that, a couple of games have turned a little bit. To update you on those, let's go to Marco Belletti. Tom, in Wisconsin. I appreciate him. Of what I could hear, dude. That music is loud. What are you doing?
So I accidentally played it on the wrong spot.
Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, it's all good. Heel Cena with your golden shovel.
Well,
I kept bringing it down. I'm like, why the hell is it getting louder? And then I realized, oh, they're playing on the same thing.
Well, if you didn't hear, Tom in 15 seconds from Wisconsin said more nicer things about me than any media or trade publications ever could dream of. It's a very low bar to clear. We're in the business of having to beg for recognition. But I know they're listening. I know they're holding back, too. I know they are. I'm actually being serious. I do think I'm being blacklisted by some.
It's my fault.
No, it's all totally mine. Trust me. That is totally mine.
No, I'm a team player, man. Like, when we get the credit, you get the credit. When we get the blame, I get the blame. That's what being a leader is.
I don't like playing the game with people I don't like. We're talking basketball. We're talking some football.
I'm going to need names later.
One very specific name. We're not talking a lot of soccer. But if we were, I would bring up that the United States lost to Panama tonight 1-0 in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinal. Quick background on what that means.
Open wide for some soccer!
Basically, teams used to just play friendlies against each other, and everyone's like, this is kind of stupid. Let's just have different tournaments so different federations have nations leagues. It's not totally big, but it is something that's more than nothing. And so it does get competitive, and teams want to win it. There's been three of these. The United States have won all three. They won't win the fourth one because Panama beat them. So Panama beat the United States in soccer. Canada beat the United States in hockey. I'm not going to be the one to ask the questions. I don't know if this is the appropriate forum, but at some point we should start asking the questions. Mainly, A, what are we doing? That is the question I would have for you tonight. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Nixon's in Wisconsin. Hello, Nixon.
Hello there, Mr. Winkler. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's up with you?
You know, I just wanted to talk to you about a couple things. First off, I thought that was a glowing review that you got from our buddy Tom up here in Cheese Land. That was amazing, by the way.
I agree.
Anyway, I wanted to ask you what you think the odds are that the Cardiac Cowboys from McNeese beat Perdue on Saturday.
I don't know. There's something about this Will Wade thing where he's the coach, but everyone knows he's leaving. I mean, it's not like everyone knows and he just hasn't said it. I've never seen it where the guy's just like so outward that he's leaving.
That's one of the reasons I took them to get to the Elite Eight is because I thought, hey, these guys might realize it's time to play for this guy. So,
yeah, I'm looking at the odds right now. The actual odds, Purdue's a 6.5-point favorite, which, I mean, if you're an underdog in this tournament, is very gettable. But sometimes things like that, Nixon, sometimes those are the things, like the intangibles, like a coach leaving or win one for the coach. You know, there's things like that. Oakland, when they made the tournament, and their coach had been there forever, and then they, you know, win a game, and Jack Gaelke doing what he's doing.
Yeah,
and that's the beauty of this tournament. Great. Yeah, that's the beauty of this tournament.
Well, the other thing, I was talking to my buddy up here, Andy, the King of Oshkosh. And were talking about, Andy, King of Oshkosh up here. Well, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh. I heard what you were saying about what Daniel Jeremiah was saying about the quarterback. I mean, I guess if I was Pittsburgh, I'd sort of be a little gun-shy on pulling the trigger on somebody that might not be a first-round talent since they've already biffed it most recently on Kenny Pickett. And so to me, I don't really think that the quarterbacks that are out there other than the top two, and I'm not even really sold on those guys, are really franchise guys. I mean, you could, like you were saying, you could throw a dart at Jackson Dart and see if that sticks. But to me, it's like, why wouldn't you just – as soon as I saw Harris signed with L.A., I thought immediately that they might go out and try to grab that Hampton kid from UNC because that would fill that need.
Omarion Hampton, he's mocked around there.
And, I mean, my thought was if Aaron goes there, he'll only need to throw the ball like 18 to 20 times a game. They could use the running game, and they got DK on one side, Pickens on the other, Freiermuth in the tight end. I mean, why reach for a guy like you were saying, that a guy that would be like 45, because you don't have that pick until 84 or 83. Like, to me, it's like, why reach for something that you're not getting that value, I guess.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with that. Nixon, thanks for the call. I still think that another first-round quarterback will be a reality. Those are great points. It's a great argument, and that's something that you have to kind of justify. But we look back so many times on drafts, and we say, well, if we only knew, like, if you knew Brock Purdy was going to be the last guy taken and somebody took him at 45, they'll say you didn't get good value there. And value, I think we're basing it on what we know about these guys and not what is going to materialize or could materialize at some point. The Rodgers part of it, talked a little bit about it last night, and by a little, I mean I whined a lot about it, but I think that where these quarterbacks are now with Wilson and Rodgers, they should probably see, it's close enough now, they should probably see if any of these teams have draft desires, if they have the ability, if they are going to draft somebody, because then that's going to affect, like, why sign with a guy now? And essentially, there's a verb for it. It's called getting Kirk Cousins when he signed, and they just went around and turned around and drafted Michael Penix Jr. Greg is in Michigan. Hey, Greg.
Hey, country western superstar Alberto Winkler.
Howdy there, partner.
It's the warrior, Mr. Positive. Hey, much on the buffet. I got to tell you, you said soda. We say pop here in Michigan. It's weird that you said that because a guy that's on our station here in Detroit, you know, he calls supper. I call dinner. He calls it supper. So you normally like to call pops soda?
I think generally I'm more of a soda guy. I've gotten a pop in there a time or two. Okay. But yeah, I would default to soda. I think I grew up with supper. And over time, I've become more of a dinner guy.
I got to tell you.
But it wasn't called the last dinner. It was called the last supper. So supper's got a little bit of a, like, they got some weight in that fight, Greg.
Yes, yes. And, I love what you post, you know, about Menards and Home Depot and stuff like that. That's always good stuff. But real quick.
Yeah.
I think we dodged a bullet with Rodgers not going to Minnesota, Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago. We don't want Rodgers in our division because, like someone said, bandied about here on 97.1, that the infrastructure that...
We're not Detroit!
Wasn't good. So we haven't seen Rodgers at his best. He was pretty good. He had 30 or 40 touchdowns last season. And he had only 10-11 interceptions. You get a team around him, he's going to be a formidable force.
I mean, he had a team around him. He had Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall.
I think the management really wasn't there and stuff like that. My buddy CB, Craig Brown, loves his Jets. But, thanks for taking my call, everybody. Go for your dreams. Thanks, Alberto.
Greg in Michigan, appreciate it. Rodgers' stats last year with the Jets is like the ultimate Rorschach test. Like, you see what you want to see. His stat line on the back of a football card looks pretty good. He also, I don't have the stats in front of me, but it is like, he threw the ball the eighth most amount of times. His completion percentage was terrible. He was sacked about more than anybody else. I never thought I'd be talking about this still deep into March, so I deleted that part of my rundown. But yeah, he had stats, good TD interception ratio, sure. A lot of yards. But what did he do to have to get those yards? He got sacked a lot, and he threw the ball a lot. I think Minnesota's the one that dodged the bullet, quite honestly. But maybe they revert back. There's a lot of time left, and Rodgers, I think that's a summer decision and not a spring decision. Happy first day of spring, by the way. I'm sorry it took me so long to say that. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.